you. Today is my birthday. 66 years old. Thank you. I never thought I'd make 40. Most of my friends didn't. I buried 41 in my own organization that didn't. Never, didn't plan on it. And probably wouldn't have if I hadn't gotten saved at almost 38.
Thank you, Lord.
So I celebrate everyone. It's they're all a gift.
Amen.
And that's just the way I look at it. And I was in New Orleans a couple weeks ago on the way here, and somebody told me of a discount suit place. And I went down there and got a couple suits at a very, very good price. And today I had them tailored when I got here, and so I was somewhere long enough to have it done. So I got them back the other day, and this is one of them. So this would be the first time I'm officially preaching in my birthday suit. I know. Yeah. Okay. Right. Strike that from the internet. All right. I'll say more about it tonight, but it's been a real blessing, and we've really enjoyed it. You made us feel real welcome, and I'm glad of that, because I wouldn't try this very, very new song if I wasn't with friends. So if you don't like me, leave. You can come back when the song's over, but all right, let's get this isn't now, but I'm looking forward to when it is going to be like this, and it's going to be like this, and I'm going to be there, and if you're saved, you're going to get in on it. So I hope you can get a blessing from it.
I'm sorry.
Help us out, Lord. Thank you. forward to that. I'm looking forward to it. He's on the throne, and he's getting the worship that he deserves. Amen. I think they liked it.
I liked it.
I liked it. Praise the Lord. That's new. And yeah. All right. Where is Stephen Kincaid? He's on the top of the list for me blaming whatever this cough is. Brian, you're running for consideration, too. Trevor, Trice, yeah. He's maybe one. And I've got a very important meeting next week. It's no more important than this one. And considerably shorter. Of course, that's all of them. We have had a good time.
Amen.
And we're not done. We're still having a good time.
Amen.
All right. So this fellow wrote this. It says, I was in Fort Myers, Florida the other day, and I saw a bumper sticker on a parked car that read, I miss Ypsilanti.
Amen.
That's just a wonderful little community in Michigan. Some of you may have heard of. So this guy read that bumper sticker and he did this. He broke the window, stole the radio, shot out two of the tires, put an Obama sticker on the bumper, and left a note on the dash that said, maybe this will help. Amen. Luke chapter 16. Man, I've been up there in Ypsilanti, Detroit. I've been in them places. You get off an on-ramp, and you go under, coming around, and there'll be a burned-out car with no tires. I mean, no windows. Has been torched all over the city, and that was, I've been saved 28 years. I've been going up there since the 70s, and it was a war zone then. And it was prospering in some ways. I don't go up there much anymore. Luke chapter 16, let's begin at verse 19. Preached everything I could think of this week. I felt like I obeyed the Lord. Maybe we'll just make a great effort to make you feel good about yourself today. Well, we'd fit in with most of modern Christianity, because that's what they do. And Brother Bill did a great job of addressing, you know, the heresy in that. What my experience is this. Most people in church around the world this morning already feel too good about themselves.
Amen.
They need to know a little bit more about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Then they deal with sin. All right, it says this, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Man, I swear that was America. He dressed well and he ate well. Amen. Every day. And he was rich. And then it says, verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And this guy, he not only is well off socially, he is rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. He doesn't have anything going for him at all. And verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I remember my grandma telling me when I was a kid, the only friend Lazarus had was the dogs. But the dog's motive wasn't friendship. They were licking his sores. I have a theory. Maybe you could investigate it, and we'll talk about it next time. The Bible says in the next verse that I'm going to read that the rich man had a funeral. It said he died and buried. But it doesn't say anything about Lazarus being buried. Right. And thinking back about Jezebel, I wondered if these dogs actually ate Lazarus. It's just an idea. It's not a doctrine. No. I got your attention now. What strange new... Okay, just a thought. Okay, verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and if he had money, there's no doubt in my mind they were able to find some preacher that would put him in heaven amongst all the flowers and the nice thing, probably had a very nice funeral. But the Bible doesn't put him in heaven. The Bible says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. First words out of his mouth. You wait till one split microsecond after your last breath,
Amen.
and have mercy on me will be the first thing you say, and you'll hear what this guy heard. No. You waited too long. Too late. Too many messages. Too many gospel tracts. Too many opportunities. You blew it. Why'd you wait so long? Verse 24 goes on, it says, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So one verse said he was tormented. You can picture whatever that means, but it's clarified that in the next verse what he's tormented with, flame. Hell's real. Hell's a place of fire. I was preaching in jail one time, and a guy said, this is hell. He's locked up. Every call from home is bad. Every communication with the lawyer's bad. I understand. I've been there. He said, this is hell. And I said, no, this is not hell. And I had a bottle of water that day, too. You see that? There ain't one drop of that in hell. I'm going to tell you, a person that dies in their sin, this is as close to heaven as they'll ever get. Right. But I'm happy to report, because of Jesus Christ saving my soul in that jail cell, this is as close to hell as I'll ever get. Amen. Outside of about 6 more feet. That's about it. Amen. Listen, hell's a real place. The Bible talks about it. It's clarified there. This is the message. This is the passage that I heard preached. What I needed was the truth. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I'm thankful that a man had courage to come in and tell you. It wasn't popular. I didn't like him one bit. A fed were trying to put me away for 37 years. That would have been the rest of my life. And then the preacher comes in and says, he doesn't know my circumstance, but he throws it out there. He says, if a person dies, no matter what your circumstances are right now, it's going to get worse. And I remember thinking, thanks. Thanks, chaplain. Coming in and cheering me up. Amen. But I tell you what, it took me only about 3 weeks. I said, man, I don't want to go there. Amen. And I called on the name of the Lord, and I'm saved. I want to talk to you about hell today. Amen. It's a real place where people go, and contrary to anybody's teaching, they don't come back. Amen. The only reprieve they get is when they stand before the great white throne and get transferred right into the lake of fire. It wasn't supposed to be that way. That's not what God intended. Matthew 25:41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That was God's intention. I'm going to tell you what, the good news is it doesn't have to be that way. That's certainly the destiny, the future of a person that dies without Christ. But the good news is nobody has to die without Christ. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. All means all. Amen. Now, I know you're a church that does personal work, and maybe, I don't know what approach you use. You may use different ones, but maybe a way to break the ice, if you want to call it, say it that way, would be like this. I probably ask people this. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? I preached on that last week. People know they're going to die. Rich people die. Poor people die. Healthy people die. Smart people die. Everybody's got an appointment with their maker. And maybe you use that, and you'll find out that most people, some say they hope, some people think, most people don't know. I tried this, and it's worked, and I'm gonna try it this morning. I'm gonna try this approach. I'm gonna ask this question. This will be the title. What are you counting on to keep you out of hell? Because that is the destiny of anybody that dies without Christ. You're condemned already. Somebody asked me, they said, well, what do you got to do to go to hell? I said, oh, you're good, man. Just keep going the way you are. You're all right. You're going to end up there. I'm going to give you some things tonight, today, that I hope you're not counting on. Because they're not going to keep you out of hell. Number one is religion. Let's pray first. Father, I love you. And Lord God, I don't know the needs of everybody in here, and I sincerely pray that God, this message would hit home.
Amen.
and that anybody that's counting on anything except the shed blood of our Savior would get that thing straightened out this day. Father, thank you for your grace these last 10 days. And I pray today would be a blessing to you and be something you can use to get a hold of the hearts of these folks, saved or lost. I love you, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, number one, religion. Religion. I hope you're not counting on religion to keep you out of hell. Galatians chapter 11. Go ahead and go there. Galatians chapter 11. I don't know why I have a phone in my pocket in the pulpit. I never do. And I'm getting it out of my pocket. And it is turned off. Here you go. You're still looking for Galatians. Don't give me that look. Galatians chapter 11 in verse number 4. Look what it says. Is that what I said? What did I say? Okay, Genesis. What did I say the first time? Dr. Riggs, help me out, Doc. What did I say the first time? Okay, I mean Genesis. Oh, yeah, you. Hey, this is the 10th day. That ain't my first mistake. Besides, I had to buy enough time to go put the songbook away. You got a problem with Galatians? It's a good book. It won't help me right now, though. Genesis, okay, mea culpa. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 4. Bible says this, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Amen. Here you got man trying to get to heaven. That's noble. There's nothing wrong with that, except there's no mention of God in the passage. And there, we, like Brother said today, like Reverend Kincaid told us, shared with us. Okay. You got man trying to get to heaven, doing it his way. There's no mention of God whatsoever. And so this is a perfect type of religion to me. A bunch of guys get together and said, this is what we can do. Amen. They're not getting God in on it. And so let me define religion. A system of things that you must do so you might make it.
Right. Amen.
That sounds like parole to me. Yeah, I'm going, really? That's not good. Amen. And there's millions of people in church all over America today. We'll be in a church today, depending on what time zone. Millions of Americans in church every Sunday. And that isn't going to get them into heaven. Amen? Now, I'm going to modify this for Texas. Just because if you were to sleep in the barn, that wouldn't make you a horse, would it? I say it like this. If you slept in a garage, it wouldn't turn you into a motorcycle. But that's what... Hey, listen. Just going to church, just getting a hold of religious rituals and traditions, that's not going to... Listen, you can follow some of the religions in this world and maybe even have an all right life. We're talking about what he's counting on to keep you out of hell.
Yeah.
And religion's not going to do it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, for by grace he is saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, if religion could get you into heaven, if anything could get you into heaven, aside from the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that whole account of Calvary would be the most morbid story ever written. But it's absolutely necessary, absolutely mandatory. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Because your sin's going to put you in hell. Amen. What are you counting on this morning? I'm glad you're in church this morning. I'm glad you're here. But I'm going to ask you, I'm going to be straight with you. What are you counting on to keep you out of hell this morning? And I hope it's not your religious works. Amen. What you need to keep you out of hell isn't religion. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. What are you counting on? What are you counting on? Keep you out of hell. Some people are counting on their own righteousness. There's people that, like I've said it before here, one guy read the tract and he said, boy, you really did need to get saved. He didn't see his need. He was an honest man, a moral man, a, family man. He was a good guy. He didn't see it. There's people that think, man, compared to so-and-so, I say that a lot because it needs to be said a lot. There's people in churches that do not see their own need to be saved. They can rejoice when other people get saved, but they've never made it personal. They just assume they're going to get in, and they're not getting in. Where they're going to get in is a place called hell, and they're going to know they missed it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3 said, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." Isaiah 64, 6 says, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." You might be the best person in San Antonio by society standards, but I'm here to tell you that your righteousness will get you a front row seat in a lake of fire. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." His righteousness will get you into heaven. His righteousness will keep you out of hell. My question for you is, what are you counting on to keep you out of hell? Amen? I'm going to tell you something else. This is really prevalent in our age, and it's really dangerous. And you're familiar. You can go ahead and go there. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. I really mean it. Oh, no, wait. No, I do. I mean it. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Familiar verse to many of you. And if the Lord talking, and you can see that in the passage, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Amen. God is willing to reason with us. And here's the subject. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Can you imagine? I mean, sometimes I think about Psalm 8:4 that says, "What is man that he is mindful of us?" And I am so humbled, overwhelmed. I've been got on my face and said, "What is man? Why would God give you and I the time of day?" And literally, He's the one that gives us the time of day. He's the one that gives us the breath that we breathe. Why would the God of glory, the sinless, holy, perfect, just God, come to us and say, "Hey, let us reason together. You got a problem you can't fix." We should be going to Him begging from a million miles away, asking for mercy, but we don't. We're too thinking proudful. And God says, "Come now, let us reason together."
Thank you, Lord.
Saith the Lord. You know what our problem is? We reason. We reason with each other. People get talking. They get talking. They say, "Well, I think." "Yeah, well, I think." And that's the problem right there. Somebody said, "Well, I think." And I said, "Yeah, I thought I smelled something burning." Amen. We reason with each other, and we reason God right out of the equation. And I'm going to tell you what, people have started churches, religions, denominations with that mentality. And it's devilish, like was well put in Sunday school this morning. Maybe the worst reasoning going on, and we don't want to reason with God, we don't want Him to reason with us. If you can't find anybody to reason with, you just reason with yourself. That's scary. You know, somebody said, "Do you talk to yourself?" He said, "Yeah, sometimes." Said, "Well, it really, you know you got a problem when you start answering yourself." And I do. Because I ride motorcycles. You know, you're not going to ride a motorcycle cross country unless you're comfortable in your own head. But if you don't answer yourself, it's totally one-sided conversation. I've talked to people on the street. I might have mentioned this week. I remember one time saying, "Hey, man, let me give you something to read to tell you how to get out of hell. Keep them going to hell." He said, "I don't believe in hell." And I thought, why didn't I think of that? I got all the money I'd have saved on suits. Amen. And when he started talking about religious, devilish trappings and collars on backwards, I was waiting for him to say ties. Thank you for not. Amen. I was waiting. Amen. Listen, hell's existence isn't determined by whether or not you choose to believe it. It's in the Bible. We believe the Bible. But I tell you what is determined by whether or not you choose to believe it, where you spend eternity. I'm telling you what, if people reason themselves right out of a need for salvation, I'll tell you what, that would be, well, you'll end up in hell. Rock music. I mean, I came on in the late 60s, early 70s, and all that. Some of you remember. And man, they're singing songs and making movies and making a party in hell and make a, you follow me? You know what I'm saying? And I buried 41 of my own guys in my 15 years with the motorcycle gangs. And the last thing, I officiated in 13 of those funerals as an officer in the organization way before I was ever saved. I officiated like this. I pulled a Colt 45 out, fired 7 rounds in the air and said, "I'll see you in hell, brother." I was more doctrinally sound than probably 85%, maybe 90% of the people in pulpits all over America this morning. Because we knew hell was real and we knew we were going there. We have to put stuff, liquor, dope, trivial things usually, in the coffin. Like there's going to be a big reunion, a big party there. I read on in Luke 16. It doesn't say anything about a party. Quite the contrary. I used to have a magnet on the back of my car. And it said, "The party in hell has been canceled due to the fire." Amen. Tell you what, man, you can reason yourself right into the thing, but you can reason yourself into believing whatever you want. But it ain't going to keep you out of hell. What are you counting on to keep you out of hell? Hey, well, I don't. Well, what if it just, I mean, on the outside chance it is real. Right. Now, it is real. But it says, "And what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul?" Now, just based on the premise, I mean, just give it a hearing and consider for a moment. Say, "I don't believe that." Well, what if it's true?
Yeah. Right.
You're gambling with something you can't afford to lose.
That's right.
Amen. And so I was a new Christian, and when I made out of jail, I got out on bond, I started working construction, and so I'm talking to people, and I'm witnessing to people, and we had a guy that was hired, he wasn't a Christian, and so I started talking about the Lord. And he said, "Well, no, I don't follow any kind of religious thing." He says, "I have two beliefs. I believe one of two ways." And I'm just listening. He said this. Number one, either there is no soul. No soul, no eternity. When this life's over, you just die. You're dead, you go to the grave. And one time I said like a dog, and I offended all dogs go to heaven people. That was one of his philosophies. It doesn't matter. Life ends right here. And there's people that believe that way. They're dead wrong. Amen. But then he said this, or maybe when you die, everybody just goes to a better place. And that's popular too. Yeah. That popular belief too. Amen. There's a lot of people that believe that. That's being preached in America. That's being preached in San Antonio this morning probably. Amen. Now those things seem like opposite ends of the spectrum. Either there's no soul and you go nowhere, or everybody goes to a better place. But they're not opposite at all. They're very similar. They're very similar in this way right here. Both alleviate any need of living right. They take judgment out of the picture. So it really doesn't matter what you do, just do the best you can. There might be somebody in here today that's just doing the best they can, they got their mind made up, and I'm telling you what, you're on dangerous ground, because the Bible says hell's real.
Right.
And I'm asking you, I'm presenting it to you, to consider, what are you counting on to keep you out? Like the guy said in jail, "This is hell. This is hell." Nope, this ain't even close. But if your sins are forgiven, it's the closest you're ever going to get.
Thank you, Lord.
I talked to a guy one time, he says, you guys, you Bible thumpers, you hell, fire, damnation preachers, don't you understand the Bible says God is love? God would not put people in hell. You've heard that, have you?
Yes.
Don't you put that on God. That Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm going to tell you what, the God of love, the God that is love, the God that committed His love toward you, and that while you are yet a sinner, and if you're that way today, God loves you enough that He gave His only begotten Son to make a way for your sin to be forgiven. They tell you something, you die and go to hell, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. Put that on God. People try to reason all these things, and instead of just coming humbly before the throne of grace and getting the mercy that's available because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they reason it all out. But I'll tell you what, you're on dangerous ground. Amen. Question simple this morning. What are you counting on to keep you out of hell? I know a bunch of you are saved. I don't doubt that. Some of you I've seen all week. Some of you I've gotten to know for several years, but I don't know everybody in here. I don't know everybody that I know saved. The only person I'm sure about is me. Well, because I was there the day I prayed. My wife says she prayed. I believe her. She acts more saved than... But I don't know about you. And I'm trying to help you by telling you the truth. I'm not going to hold your hand and try to convince you that you should love Jesus. I'm here to tell you that if you die in your sin, you're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to scream at the top. You're going to weep, wail, gnash your teeth, and know that everything I've said this morning is true. What a crying shame that would be.
Amen.
What are you counting on to keep you out of hell? I tell you what, I hope it's not some little repeated prayer. I hope you're not counting on some little 1, 2, 3, repeat after me prayer to change the course of your eternal soul. Amen. I've seen people respond to an invitation and go and pray and get up and they don't even know what they... I'm not talking about little kids. I'm talking about beginning up and says, okay, got that feather, got that checked off the list. Now let's get back to doing what we want to do. I'm here to tell you something. To get saved, you've got to comprehend that Jesus Christ went to the cross and became sin for you. And you get a hold of that, and you call upon the name of the Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You get a hold of that, it'll change what you want to do. It'll change the course of your life. Everybody's not a preacher. Everybody doesn't do this or do that. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away.
Amen.
Churches are full of people. They got it all right here. They know the stuff. They watch the videos. They do not know Jesus Christ here. And if that's you this morning, you are in danger of hellfire, and you need to come to Jesus Christ. They say, well, I don't agree with all that. Well, hey, every service has been offered the option to let us take a Bible and answer any of your questions. And we're not promoting ourselves. We'll show you what the book says. It's up to you. But you deserve the right to have an informed decision. I guess you do. God gave us the Bible. What are you counting on? I've had people say, yeah, I got saved and nothing changed. I heard a preacher say this one time over in North Carolina. He said he was walking through a barn and there was a mule, about 1,100-pound mule in this thing, just sitting there minding his own business. And there's a bumblebee flying around in the stall. All of a sudden, that bumblebee stuck that mule on the rear end, and that mule reared up with his rear legs and almost kicked the side of the barn down. And the guy says, if something that small can have that kind of effect on something that big, you're trying to tell me that something as big as God came into you and there was no response, no reaction, no change? Hogwash. Hey, well, Brother Spurgeon, don't you believe the Bible teaches you can backslide? Absolutely. I tried it. I didn't like it, man. I got right with God as quick as I could. Amen. But I got a question for you. You can't backslide if you never front slid. I understand people get saved and then make some progress and then whatever, all the reasons. But man, I'm telling you what, I've seen people do some 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I know people that they brag every week on how many people got saved. I know a church that get 25 people saved and they've gone there 10 years. They still got the same 11. And they're mad at each other half the time. That little 1, 2, 3 repeat after me thing, easy believism. It's easy to believe. But that ain't Bible salvation. And if that's all you got, you prayed a little prayer sometime, and if I was dead, you'd say, I'm saved. And but we're singing, and you don't got it. You don't have a song in your heart. The joy of the Lord is not your strength. It's everything you can do to pay attention.
Amen.
Well, listen, I'm not even putting you down. I'm telling you there's maybe something missing.
Yes. Amen.
And you can have what's missing.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You ever get a hold of it? It'll change you. Sure changed me. I did not go straight. I did not turn over a new leaf. I didn't even want to. I never dreamed in a million years I'd ever get out of prison. That is not why I got saved. I got saved because the Bible said I was going to hell.
Yes. Yes,
and that Jesus went to the cross, so I didn't have to.
Yes, sir.
I said, well, I made a mess with some things here, but I was able to write my mom a letter and say, I am so sorry for all the shame and disgrace I brought upon the family. But I'm here to tell you, Mom, thanks for praying, because I'll see you in heaven.
Amen.
I didn't know the Lord's going to let me out of jail. I didn't know I was going to get to spend 11 years with that sweet Methodist gal, my mother, that prayed for me. I got her into the King James Bible before it was over. I was in a little Baptist church in southern Tennessee where we're from. My mom, I never heard anybody raise their voice in church. The loudest thing I ever heard in church growing up was my dad snoring. And I'm not saying that to disparage my dad. It was that boring. No wonder I got out and headed for the military and headed for the bright lights. Because I never had anything real. Amen? But boy, my mom one day in a little church, she stood up. They asked for testimony. I never heard my mom give testimony. They're very private. And my mom stood up. She said, that's my boy, and I'm so proud of him, after everything I did to them.
Wow. Yeah.
I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you saved?
Amen.
What are you counting on to keep you out of hell? Amen. Let me give you the final thought. We had what? What, we had religion? That ain't going to keep you out. Your righteousness, sorry, I'm not saying you're not a great person, but your righteousness is not going to keep you out of hell. And you can be smart, you can be whatever, you can reason all day long, but the only thing to keep you out of hell is doing what Jesus Christ said to do. Amen? That prayer? That's from the heart. It says, first man believeth unto righteousness, but the heart man believeth. Last of all, let me close with this. Here's the reality. We're talking about, what are you counting on to keep you out of hell? Here's the reality. Revelation 20 and 15 says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus Christ preached on hell more than he did heaven. If you're saved, you'll have all eternity to explore heaven. But if you're not, he went to the cross so that you didn't have all eternity to explore hell. Went to the cross to keep you out. I quoted the verse the other night, I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I like that. Well, I got news for you. That thing cuts both ways.
Yes, sir.
I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. I'm telling you, in your wildest imagination, you cannot comprehend how bad hell is.
Right.
Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
You're not that tough. I wasn't that tough.
No.
I ain't risking it.
Amen.
If you're not saved in it this morning, you can be. You need to be.
Amen.
And you can be. Amen?
Amen?
All right, now I'm preaching to a lot of Christians. Somebody calls that preaching to the choir. I understand that. And so I just reminded you, Christ, you may have got great victory in your life. You may have got a lot of things straightened out as a Christian. Jesus Christ did not go to the cross for you to get victory over bad habits or put your marriage back together. That's not why He went. Jesus Christ did not go to the cross so you could go to heaven. Those are just benefits of being a Christian. That book says Christ died for our sins. Because our sins were taking us to hell. Amen. And you know what we're supposed to do? Those that got in on the greatest gift ever given, we're supposed to let other people know.
Amen.
So I hope I haven't used this illustration before. It's all running together, but it still works. There's a car going down the road in the middle of the night. Did I use it this week? Raise your hand if I did. Going down the road in the middle of the night and out west, long straight roads and big canyons. And up ahead, he sees a car with a four-way flashers on. This is before cell phones and any of that stuff. And he slows down. There's a two-lane road. And he slows down. And here the car's parked on the side. And a guy is standing out in the road. And he's waving his jack. And he's doing everything he can to flag this car down. You can tell this was a while back because these days, you don't stop for nobody. So many kooks out there. So he stops. He's got his wife in the car, got his kids in the car, and he slows way down, and he's real apprehensive, and the guy looks real frantic, and he rolls his window down a little bit, and the guy starts yelling, "The bridge is out! The bridge is out!" Less than a mile up the road, the bridge is out, it's 100 foot, it is sure death, it's a good thing you stopped, wait here, flag the next guy down, I'll go find a state trooper. This is 10 miles back to town. He is afraid to leave it unguarded. So, here they sit, and the guy turns around, and he heads back toward town. And here the guy's sitting there, and he's got his four-ways on, because he's pulled over, and I mean him and his wife and his kids, they are crying, they're rejoicing, they're praising Jesus, they thank God, they're thanking God for sending somebody to warn them, so that they didn't all just die, and they're glad and they're happy. And then a little pair of headlights appear in his mirror. And it ain't been long enough for that guy to come back or any cop. There's another car on their way speeding down the road. Now this guy's got a decision. Now he's already thanking Jesus for sparing him, for saving him, but as that car gets closer and closer, he's got to decide, what's he going to do? He's going to sit there and just rejoice and hug his wife and kids and or they're going to get out. Try to flag that guy down. God forbid. There are people going by us every day. They have no idea that the bridge is out, and we know. And if they go in spite of us, we can't help that. But God forbid, we sit on our hands. We say we love God. We go to church once in a while, and we're not doing nothing to keep people out of hell. That's what we're here for. You got saved because somebody told you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're in here this morning, you've never been scripturally born again, you're on your way to hell. I don't say that to be ugly. I say that because I love you enough to tell you the truth. All right? So God says, I mean, that's what he's saying in John 3:16. He's saying, don't go to hell. I made a way for you to miss it. Jesus Christ from the cross of Calvary says, don't go. Don't go to hell. Look what I'm doing. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we could talk to that rich man that we began preaching about in Luke 16, if we could talk to him, he'd say, don't go. Don't come to where I am. As a matter of fact, in verse 27 of Luke 16, after having his previous request turned down, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place and torment. This guy wasn't the least bit concerned about himself or his family till he got to hell. Now he's concerned. You may not be concerned about either one today either. But I guarantee you one day you will.
Amen.
If we could hear the voices of them in hell right now. I mean, if we could hear what's going on amidst that weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what we'd hear? The Bible's true. Jesus is Lord. Get saved while you can. Don't come here. Don't come here. That's what they'd be saying. They don't want your company. I got friends down there. I buried 41 guys, and you know what? They don't want me to join them. They'd be like this rich man. I'd say, I don't want my brother down here. Nothing's worth being there. Get saved before it's too late. Yes. And you know why this church sits here, and Brother Billy said it, and Brother Brian said it, and everybody said it. This church was established to let people know that they don't have to go to hell.
Amen,
if you're in here this morning, you're not saved, please don't go to hell. I hope you're not counting on any of that stuff. There's one thing you can count on. There's one thing you can trust. There's only one method that's never failed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I so appreciate that being so exclusive, so narrow. Many mistakes as I've made in my life. If this thing about salvation was multiple choice, chances are I'd make the wrong choice. It is not multiple choice. The only way you can miss it is just refuse it, neglect it, not act on it. Counting on what? More chances? Put it on your list someday? You don't have any promise. You'll get out of this building today. But you can have a promise from God that when your soul steps out, and it will, it'll step into the presence of God rather than lift up its eyes in hell. Let's all stand. What are you counting on? Keep you out of hell.